Detta är kassett nummer 2, det är sida nummer 1 och det är fortsättning på intervju med Mrs. Jackson, Rock Island, Illinois. And it's today, September 25, 1985.
Okay. Papa always got a tree from the, there was cedar trees growing around us, or maybe one of the brothers from the valley would bring us a Christmas tree, and we'd put that up in, oh, they had a container of some kind, you know, put it in our little living room. We had a nice little living room. And we had an organ, Grandma's old organ, and somehow they would trim that tree at night after we'd gone to bed, and they'd close the door and nobody should go in that living room until we'd had our Christmas supper, and we had potatoes, carven, lutefisk and stuff. And then somehow Papa would get outside and go around to the front door and knock on the door and set in a little box of presents. And then they made us believe, or tried to make us believe, it was Santa Claus coming.
So he didn't show himself then?
Yeah. Then he came back.
He didn't know who it was?
Yeah. He didn't show himself, he just knocked at the door. And he was supposed to be a Santa Claus that left those gifts. And of course that got away from us pretty soon. We knew better. And then we opened that box of gifts, and sometimes we'd sing a song before. And Ellen or Laura would play if I didn't play, or if I hadn't learned to play. And we'd sometimes sing a little hymn before. And then we would open this, and then Papa usually read a scripture after that.
What kind of gifts did you receive then?
Many homemade gifts that Mama had made for us, things we needed, or some Crayolas for school, or maybe a book that we needed, or things like that. But usually there was always a doll in. With us four girls, there was always a doll in the family, you know, and new clothes, new dresses for that doll, or things like that. And, those are the things I think of.
There were no fruits like oranges or eggs?
Yeah, they had fruits. That they always had.
How about candy? Chocolate?
Yeah.
Did you get chocolate at that time?
Well, I don't remember the chocolate candy. It was usually those hard, with red stripes on, you know,
the
Swedish. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
And, they had some pretty things that they had been brought from Sweden, or had gotten from Sweden since they came, real pretty, two or three pretty things for the tree, and they were very special to us. We kept them.
And the Christmas tree was a cedar tree, you said?
It was a cedar tree.
And it was picked out in the...
Blue Valley.
Mm-hmm. And it was cut off, it wasn't taken off with the root.
Yeah,
it was cut off.
And we kept it as long as we could.
How long do you think, about January, February?
Oh, yeah, maybe in January sometime, we'd have to take it out.
You had a big party then for your... when you undressed the tree and you danced around it, do you remember that?
We didn't get to be in undressing the tree, when we undressed it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, I don't remember so much of that. I think the older girls would remember, maybe. Mm-hmm. But we sang and we had a good time. Mm-hmm.
So when you were sitting down at the table at in your home and at Grandpa's, there were a lot of Swedish dishes on there. You mentioned lutefisk.
Everything was there.
So you could get lutefisk in Oldsburg.
You remember Seal? Well, they made their own lutefisk. They just bought those fishes.
I know, yes, but I mean they could buy that flat.
Yeah. Mama did that all the time. She fixed her own, and they did that on.
How often did they eat lutefisk? Only the Christmas.
Well, past New Year's and around, as long as that, whatever they had prepared, as long as that lasted, and others sometimes even did the second coat. You know.
But you never started before Christmas Eve to eat lutefisk?
No, that was to be Christmas Eve lutefisk. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm. And there were lutefisk potatiskaka.
Ostkaka, mince pie. I think they had a choice, a mince or apple. And rice pudding.
Rice pudding. Was it the last thing? Was it a dessert, rice pudding?
Yeah, well, there was something else. Well, pie. They always had pie, mince pie usually, that they had made themselves.
Mm-hmm. So there was more like an American dish than the mince pie.
Yeah, that
what
was...
What had they picked up, you think? What did your mother pick up the idea? Was it the older sisters, you think, that brought in that? Or?
No, I don't know. Neighbors talking together.
Mm-hmm. So before you sit down now and eat... Oh, I mean, to eat this table here now, it was on the table. You said a prayer.
No, not before we sat down, after we sat down. And usually it was the, I suppose Grandpa did it as long as he could. And then after that, one of the...
Do you remember that prayer? Can you recite it?
I think it was just kind of come out of his mind.
Swedish prayer.
Swedish. Yeah, I don't know if it was any particular prayer. I think it was just a free prayer for, that he said that night.
But you all... It was always a prayer said at the table there.
And we always had our hands like this and our heads down too, you know. We knew that we were trained to put our hands down and listen to that prayer.
Mm-hmm. Can you recite the Swedish prayer that you remember?
I don't think I dare do that. I don't know.
No.
I think it was one that he just gave free.
I see.
I think that. Mm-hmm.
And that was a short prayer?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't real short, but it was... I know we girls used to think it'd be nice when it was right when you start eating.
After a long day's work, huh? So how about after the food? Did you say thank you for the food then, before you could leave?
Oh, yeah. They always talked a good for Martin.
All of you?
No, we left it to that one person to do it.
I see. And then you could leave the table. So at the Christmas party at your grandpa's now, when you were so many together, the grandchildren and everything, could you all sit at the same table then? Or the kids at...
But two or three table? That had to be in the kitchen. It was a long table. And there was a couple or three and had to be in the kitchen to bring the food and service.
So they ate in there? And
then they ate when we were through. I imagine they came and sat at the table.
So the living room now, where you had the Christmas tree at Grandpa's, that room was never used for daily use, so to speak.
No, they were pretty careful in that room. There was an organ in there and a little davenport of some kind, and maybe a rug on the floor, homemade rug maybe. Mm-hmm.
So that was the, mm-hmm. the...
Kind of shut off. They had a sitting room, and they used that more than every day, you see. Grandpa had his big clock in there from Sweden. It was beautiful.
And that room was never heated in the wintertime then, unless it was used?
No, I think that's right.
Was it a separate stove in there, or was it what kind of heating?
No, I think if they opened everything up from the other doors, I believe that's the way they did it. Mm-hmm.
So, you mentioned that you started a play. Did your home have an organ then? You had an organ in your home?
We had an old organ that Grandma Nelson didn't need because her daughter-in-law brought her organ to put in the home, so she gave that old organ to us, and that's where we played.
And you all learned to play that?
The two older ones didn't learn to play.
How did you get the knack of it, though? I mean,
well, I don't know how to say that, but Ellen and I liked to play, and she even learned to play. And then I guess I took a few lessons after I got up to Oldsburg, and I just kept on until I got good enough to play it, good enough.
So you had the ear for music then, so you could pick out, you know exactly that you did something wrong.
Yeah, we had music. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it common that most of the homes had an organ?
Those neighbors that we knew was, and I don't know about the Yankees, I don't know. I don't remember them. Mm-hmm.
But because there was an expense that...
Yeah. Now those Applewood's neighbors that I'm talking about, they had a good organ. Some of the girls learned to play. And so we wanted an organ. We were happy when it was given to us.
Mm-hmm. So you couldn't finish all your schooling in Richland School. You had to, and then you moved to...
Two grades in Oldsburg.
In Oldsburg. You and moved there in 1908.
And then I graduated from high school, you see there, in Oldsburg.
Yes.
From high school. Mm-hmm.
What was the reason did you move to Oldsburg? You moved away from the farm then?
Because Papa's health. It's only in here.
So you sold the farm then?
He sold his little farm. Mm-hmm.
And nobody, at that time, there was no one other girls that had married or...
No. So he sold the farm and took us all to Oldsburg. My oldest sister wasn't home very much after that. She worked out for other people. She went to Manhattan and worked. Mm-hmm.
So he was able then, he sold the farm, and he could buy your house in Oldsburg.
He bought the house.
Got money left,
he bought a little lot, and it's a nice little place. And his uncle, one of my mother's brothers, and another man built that house.
Mm-hmm. And he got money left as he could live on without working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because your mother couldn't.
No. Well, she sold some, but not at that time. She hadn't started then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of your sisters still stayed there with them in Oldsburg?
Yeah, there was one with him, her all the time, yeah. The oldest one then, when mother was left alone, she stayed there with her, see.
And you came there in April 1908?
So that's what I got, I think that's right.
And then he died the same year?
He died in 1909. We came there in April and he died in 1909.
Oh, 1909.
In June, I think he died on his birthday. 16.
So did he go under doctor's care then for something? Or
Yeah, he was under the doctor's care.
Medicine. So he was slowly getting down and or going down?
We knew he was going down all the time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how old was he then?
60.
60.
They called it dropsy then, now they call it something different. Heart ailment of some kind.
Yeah. But your mother was still...
She was pretty perk, yeah.
She was pretty...
And then she worked at her sewing. She had a sewing room.
And she lived to 1935?
Uh-huh. She was 73, I think. Mm-hmm. So she got along.
Mm-hmm. Then... you were confirmed in Oldsburg.
Oldsburg, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was the last Swedish class they had. After that, they switched to English.
Was it a big class?
I think we were about 12.
12.
About equally divided, boys and girls.
Boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And you went once a week then?
Yeah, every Saturday.
And you didn't have too far to walk then, because it was right in...
I was right in Oldsburg, yeah.
Town. And there was a white stone church?
No, that was the old wooden church.
Well, there was a wooden church?
And they've got a brick one now.
I see.
I like the older. I like
so. There were some buildings then built by wood. Wood was used instead of stone.
Yeah, wood was used in place of stone.
Would you say most of the houses around there were of stone, though? There seemed to be plentiful of stone.
In Oldsburg?
Yeah.
I don't think I could say that.
No.
There was a period when they wanted things done in a hurry, and they. You just put wood in.
I see. Mm-hmm. But there were plenty of stone to be used for construction around.
Oh, yeah, wood. They could have bought them, you know. Mm-hmm. But most of the houses in Oldsburg are wood.
Mm-hmm. And you had to finish some of your schooling in Manhattan?
Then
20 miles away.
Then I went to Manhattan, and I worked for my board and room for 2 years of high school.
Well, you worked for
my boarding room. I've been a poor lady.
How did you do that? I mean, combined okay. it with the schooling.
My sister worked for a wealthy family in Manhattan. And at the time, they'd had a girl, and she was 8 years old, a daughter, this couple. That's all the children they had. And she was 8 years old when I moved there. And they wanted, my sister was going to quit working. They thought they could get along with me going to school, and staying with Mary sometimes, you know, when they went out, they'd want to go out, and then I should be babysitter, and also do the housework. And I did that. And I had a little room downstairs right off the kitchen, and that was my little room. And then I had the kitchen over here, and the stairway went up here, and I took care of that for 2 years.
So you could make a little bit money then instead of paying?
I got a dollar every week for cleaning. That's all I got. And my boarding room.
So were you tired then after the school work and then?
Oh, I guess I was all right. I kept going. I knew it had to be done, and I never resented it. I never got bitter about it or anything. I had a little trouble there. The man started drinking. And it was kind of bad for us, but she and I made it all right. Yeah. And I took care of Mary when they were gone. And then they had parties sometimes there, and I'd have to manage that. The
you had
cooking.
To cook too?
And sir.
So then your mother's teaching came in handy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Could you do anything at that age in cooking, for instance, like your mother?
Yeah.
You like to bake too?
Yeah, I did some baking.
A dollar a week? Mm. You got the bargain.
Well, it's done now, so nobody can undo it.
It's all done. Mm-hmm. And after 2 years in Manhattan, you went to Emporia.
Uh-huh. That was only...
Norman College.
That was only a summer session I had there.
I see.
But I took primary work because I aimed at... I'd like to teach primary sometime. I took primary and I had to have some kind of a certificate for that.
How did you get the idea? Did somebody tell
I don't know. I think it just came here all by itself.
And normal college, now was there a regular college or business college? Or
it was a normal college, but they had what they call normal courses for teaching. And that's what I took, a summer course there.
Something like Bethany in Dinsbury?
Yeah.
But it was not as big though, or was it the same size?
It was an ordinary state college. But then I didn't get the job I got then for the next year was at country school.
In Rock Prairie?
Uh-huh.
What was that?
Prairie Rock.
Prairie Rock, I mean.
On the other side of Cleburne, quite a little ways northwest of Cleburne. But I got out there, and I taught there 1 year, and then the next year I got the primary at Oldsburg, because the other teacher had quit, see, and I taught.
So when you got this first call as a teacher, did you have to take a state exam then to be a teacher, or authorization that you had gone
I
through?
I think I had to take something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that normal college course, that was for teaching?
A teaching course, exactly.
Teaching course.
Yeah.
Professional mm-hmm. teaching.
And then it's when I was in Manhattan, is when I met my husband, you know. And they had a little white
in
church.
In Emporia, you mean?
In Manhattan.
In Manhattan?
And I, uh-huh. And it was a little white church. It's changed from what it is now. And I was organist. I could play on, I was free on Sunday, you know. And so I managed, in the evening sometime, I managed the organist job in that little white church. And they had called a student from Lindsberg to manage the service during the summer there. And that's when Jalmer came there, and that's where we met.
So he had gone to Bethany?
Yeah, he was working at Bethany then.
Oh, I see. So he had already gone through the theological seminary? Or
No, just Bethany. He had some more. Bethany. He had two more years to go.
Before he transferred to Augustana?
Yeah, before he graduated from Augustana. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see.
And that's where we met. And before too long, we were kind of committed, and we decided on the marriage and so forth.
In other words, you had a mutual interest that grew and sentiments advanced, and you were both committed. Mm-hmm. Did you marry then?
No, we waited 2 years till he graduated from, he had to graduate from Augustana, and I had to teach one more year. I didn't have to, but I did. I taught one more year after that.
Could you have married at that time and he continue his...
If we'd had a lot of money and I'd been too eager to teach anymore, but I was committed to teaching and I wanted to, and that was agreeable.
But he was not ordained pastor then, he was only a student.
He was a student there.
Yes, yeah. Could the student pastor marry at that time without interfering with his continuation of being a pastor?
I wouldn't know that answer, I wouldn't know. And they took him to Minneapolis to ordain. They did those classes, so you know. And that's where he was ordained, Minneapolis.
And then you married in Oldsburg?
Then it was all set. We'd made these plans before. We were married, a couple weeks after he came down then, you know, we were married in the little white church.
Mm-hmm. So that was the...
Mm-hmm. And then we had a reception at Mama's home, her yarn. And then we left. And from there on, I've got the story here.
Yeah, you have saved the wedding invitation, or the menu, so to speak.
That's it. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, fruit nectar wafers. What was that?
Well,
it was the first on the menu.
It was, oranges and bananas, and depending on the time of the year, maybe pears cut up, you know, like they do now. And maybe some orange juice on there. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. No wine or anything.
No, nothing to drink. Just coffee.
I suppose we had water on the table, but coffee. No other drinks.
And then as number two, or the main dish, sandwiches, Saratoga chips. What is that?
It's a potato chip, like a potato chip.
Well, they had those at that time too.
Something like that.
That pressed dry. A
little different. Yeah. Yeah.
How did you buy them? Did you make them at home?
Oh, we maybe sent for them to Manhattan or something. Or maybe we ordered them special. I wouldn't remember then. But we got them anyway. We maybe got them at Randolph or someplace.
And pressed chicken?
And think what the work that was to dress those chickens and pick them off of the bones and grind them and put them in the broth, and that was pressed chicken.
Oh, I see. There was a lot of work to eat that chicken. But there was the fancy dish then.
It was a fancy dish, and you made it about that thick, and then you cut it off in squares and serve it on the lettuce, maybe.
I see. And buttered peas and pickles. Mm-hmm. And the buttered peas now and the pickles, it was grown in your...
Not the peas.
No?
No, I don't think so.
You didn't have that?
No, we didn't have enough garden stuff.
But
no,
pickles, I don't you had the...
So. Yeah, it was from cucumbers or something. Yeah. Like that. Mm-hmm.
And then pineapple salad and cheese wafers.
That would be on a lettuce and a pineapple slice, and then a little dressing on top, and a little tiny, like a little cracker. It'd be the cheese wafer. It'd be a cheese wafer.
I see. And how about the vegetables now? Were they raw, like salad and pineapple salad? That was
no. It was a fruit. Yeah, fruit. That was just
And then you had the. A good time making all the angel food cakes, 8 of them. Get the old crocker barrel up there and
yeah, we made angel food cakes, and it was hot down there in Kansas, don't you know? We didn't have air conditioning.
Now, how did you keep it now? I mean, you had to make this the day before.
It said we put the angel food cakes in the basement. But one of the banker's wife did have a refrigerator, and she kept some of that fruit stuff at that time for us. She lived a block or so away.
What kind of refrigerator was that? Was it gas-powered or...?
It probably was electric. I wouldn't dare say that. Yeah, it could have been gas.
Did they get refrigerators at that time then?
It could be a gas. I don't know.
But the farm homes didn't have it?
Not generally. No. They used to have a big place where they kept frozen stuff, and they could go there and buy it too, you know.
The ice cream, that was made the same day?
Well, they cooked the custard the day before, I think, and cooled it, and then froze it maybe that day.
Okay. What did you get the ice? Did they take it out themselves?
Somebody had enough ice in their ice box, so they brought it in chunks. That's the way they used to do it, break it in, and they broke one of them and used it.
So you bought them from the iceman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. If I go back a little bit now on your farm, did your dad take up any ice on the stream?
Mm-mm.
It was never used to.
Mm-mm. Never used it.
No. And Rosette wafers. What was that? That was a cookie or?
What was the name of
it? Rosette.
Oh, that's so Swedish things that you make on a certain iron and dip it down in fat. Everett's make them all the time. You've tasted them.
Nice.
That's what they were. Mm-hmm.
And that was the last
thing. And they were special.
Oh, and then you had coffee.
And then coffee.
And the children had they drank milk then, I suppose. Or did you have any children?
There were some little girls in the wedding party, and they would just drink water or milk or something, maybe, the children.
Mm-hmm. And the pastor now, who was he?
Dr. Lindquist, A.W. Lindquist, you remember him, Albert?
Yes, I see the name.
He was our pastor for quite a while before he went to, where did he go, Kansas City? He was kind of quitting, you know.
Oh.
I don't know, but what his wife, I don't think she was living there. I'm not sure. Maybe she was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was the wedding then. Mm-hmm. And then you, he was ordained.
He was already ordained. He'd been ordained in Minneapolis, and then he went home first and came down. So we were all ready to go. Mm-hmm.
So you stayed home in your home then for a little short while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before we go on the rest of your life story now, if I ask you about the schools now, was it Rock Prairie or Prairie Rock?
Prairie Rock.
Prairie Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You had 8 classes there.
Well, I had 8 grades.
8 grades. Eight grades,
and I had a child, or one or two children.
How did you master that? I mean, it was so different. I mean, from the first grade to...
You have your seats up in front that don't have any desks to them, all the country schools have. And then I'd say a second grade reading come up, and I'd be here in my desk. And then there maybe be 2 come up, and maybe 4, or whatever there was in second grade. And then they would come up, and then I would ask them questions about their lesson. They were supposed to have studied that lesson, and I would ask them questions. Sometimes they would put things on the blackboard. or I would have things on the blackboard. Sometimes they would have to go and write up on the blackboard.
And that didn't interfere with the 4th or 5th or 6th or 7th?
They had to sit there and do their lessons during that time.
I see.
They sat back in their desks in the other
And they were quiet then? They couldn't interfere anything with
They
you.
Had to be very good.
Mm-hmm. So you had a tremendous respect with you then? I mean, you were a young girl now.
I made
how did
mistakes.
You master that?
I don't know.
What did they tell you at the normal college in Emporia, how you should apply this?
I mean, I've forgotten what I've taught there. But they tried to help us teach, and you know.
And the children were...
Yeah, I got along, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No problem?
No. No, we had some problems about absences and things like that, not coming to school like they should or something. They had to come from
far away.
Away, yeah. But we got along. In fact, they asked me to come back the next year, but I didn't. Then I had committed myself to Oldsburg, you see. Mm-hmm.
And then you came home to the old neighborhood. How did that work now? Would you know some of the parents and the...
And I had three grades there. I had the primary grade and grade one and two. And the little ones need a little bit more leading than an ordinary.
Mm-hmm. How did they affect your work, Dana? Was it more interesting to have eight grades instead of three?
I liked the three the better.
Why? Was it easier to...
There was three lessons to get ready, you see. I could, and the other way, you had all the lessons to get ready.
You had to work all night then to get prepare yourself to...
I don't think I ever did, but maybe I should have.
No, they only have one grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I'm living.
Because you had to be adverse now in geography and
I had to know everything.
Teach them to write from the first step and up to the...
That's the way they did it, all of them in those days. Yeah.
And it was one-room schoolhouse?
A one-room. And, you've seen an old schoolhouse, you know about how big they are. A big stove in the center of the room. And
a barrel of water and a dipper.
Mm-hmm. And the children had to carry in the coal and the wood and stuff. They did that for me at recess time and in the mornings.
How did they do now in the wintertime or in the spring when everything was thawing up, coming in there with wet feet and everything?
We just managed the best we could.
Did they take their boots off or whatever they had on to dry off?
I think they cleaned them. I suppose if they were real wet, they'd put them by the stove.
Otherwise, they were sitting there with wet feet.
That's a fire alarm. Don't worry about it. Yeah, they were. He would be sitting without feet or take it off or something else. We managed that too, I guess.
And then when they ate their lunch, then they ate it right in the...
In the summertime, they would. In the springtime, they'd go out and eat if they wanted to. Otherwise, we sat wherever they wanted to by the desk and ate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when you had breaks between the...
Recess,
mm-hmm. What did they do
They
then?
Could go outdoors and play if it was nice. Sometimes even in the winter time, they would like to go out and play.
Mm-hmm. And that was about 10, 15 minutes?
15-minute recess.
Mm-hmm. And you had your lunch also then during that time?
I had to eat my lunch. I sat up by my desk and ate lunch with them. Mm-hmm.
So there was an experience?
I've had lots of experiences. I really have. I guess anybody at 90 years of age can say that. You start picking yours up, you'd be surprised what you pick up in a thing like this. No. So get you something ready for your family, your children.
That's right.
You start now. Don't wait till you're 90.
You have seen a tremendous lot of changes during your life.
Everybody tells me that, and it's true. How big a change it's been from then until now. Yeah. And I don't know, should I call them good changes or bad?
Well, this is the question. You have to be the judge because you have walked the path of time way back. So, for instance, now you have this school, one-room schoolhouse. Now they are talking about to go back to that idea again. Would that work, you think?
Not as well as what we've been doing, I don't think.
You don't think so?
No. It would be more companionship with the children, maybe, between themselves.
But it would be harder on the teacher.
Oh, I think it would be very hard.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It would be very hard for a teacher to keep the...
Very hard.
...respect and...
I'm thinking we're maybe making too many changes.
So nowadays, a teacher can't tell anybody what to do, actually, or even touch a pupil. How about you now? Did you have to use your hand to
So Dreglin, did they hear to tell you just to sit on there? And
oh, I suppose I did, maybe, if they were whispering or studying together, it shouldn't be, you know, yeah.
Then you had to
put
your foot down.
Yeah, I would maybe say, be quiet, somebody.
Were you told this at the teacher's college in Emporia about that, or how to behave?
Maybe we had a trial course there, I don't remember, I'm in a class.
Some bad boys.
It was just, I had been in this so many years in myself going to school that I guess it just kind of, I just kind of picked it up there, I think, from the teachers that I'd had. I'd had nice teachers.
So then you thought one school year in Oxford,
in the country, and one in, and
yeah,
and that was it. And then I was through. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that meant moving away from Kansas.
Yeah, that's what it says here, moving away from. Has traced it back, and she said he changed his name out east working for the railroad, and somehow she thinks there the error could have been made from Johnson to Jackson. Now that's all I can tell you about that.
And that was your husband's father?
That was my husband's father.
And they came to Malmö, Nebraska?
And they had a relation, and I think, yeah, a little relation and some friends there. That's why it led them to Malmö. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had the homestead days out there, hard ones.
So did you visit shortly after your marriage then to your husband?
Yeah, yeah.
His parents?
We went, in fact, we left Oldsburg and went there for our little second honeymoon. That's the only thing we did. We stopped and visited with the parents.
Well, it's not too far up north there.
No, a couple hundred miles or something. In fact, we went on the train, you know.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there for maybe 10 days or something. And kind of visited with her. He was gone. He was gone by then. Mm-hmm. But the mother and the old mother lived there, and we hadn't met her, so we stayed there with her.
Did you notice anything different in that neighborhood of Malmö compared to Oldsburg? Did they do things different?
Well,
did you notice?
They lived four or five miles out of Malmö. See, okay. Here was Malmö, and they lived out right on the farm, big farms around.
Yeah.
And I think I noticed that the farmers there had larger areas of ground. They had come a little farther along than like my little town where I lived on the farm. And otherwise, there was neighborhoodliness and stuff forth, yeah. And they had a cousin that lived a mile and a half away, and they had us over a couple times, you know, to get acquainted and that. So we had a nice time there.
How about the dwellings now, the houses they lived in, were they bigger or...
The what now?
The houses they lived in?
They had a huge house, they had built them up a huge house.
Were they bigger than compared to Oldsburg and around your area or...?
Well, the two I was in were, and some were just the opposite.
Two-story houses?
Two-story houses, a big two-story house. But then you see the family was gone, so it was just the mother and the one son left. Mm-hmm. So the house...
And he was not married then?
No, he wasn't married then, he was at home. I guess they had a little more money, maybe, if I should say that, than we did, but the living was about the same. They grew their own things quite a bit and got along.
But your husband, Hjalmar, he was not interested to be a farmer.
My husband?
No, your husband. He was not interested to be a farmer.
No. He worked there, you know, until he grew up, and then I guess he got... the idea he wanted to go to school, and so then Wahoo, Nebraska, you see, was not too far from there, so that made it kind of handy for him. So he went there
to Luther College.
To Luther College, and then from there it happened come out to be to Lindsberg, and then the seminary. That's the way it was. No, he didn't care for farming.
Mm-hmm. So his call then, the first one, was to.
Merrill, Wisconsin.
Merrill, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It was up in a different area completely.
I said I left my mother's home alone, or left
far
her
away.
Alone, and went clear up in Merrill, but I conquered that one too.
You got homesick then because it was a different climate?
There were times, and I was, but I knew it was going to be that way, so I lived with it. We lost our first little girl up there, and I lived with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and how long did your husband stay there?
I wrote those down. I was afraid I wouldn't remember them. We were there 2 years, yeah, and then we went to Salem.
Salem, in North Dakota?
South Dakota.
South Dakota, I mean. Mm-hmm. South Dakota.
And that was another experience. It was out in the country.
It was out on the prairie,
about,
right?
About a half a mile. The church was a little ways up, a fourth of a mile or more from the parsonage. Beautiful six-room parsonage. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, the parsonage is located a little bit away from the church.
Quite a little ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and he had that church then, and you stay there. And most of your daughters were born there.
Two of them were born.
Two of them were born there.
Yeah.
So, in those two churches now, Merrill and in Salem, did you have to help your husband with any kind of church work, like being his secretary and?
Not official works. I just did work with the ladies and.
Silent work.
Yeah.
Never recognized.
Never agonizing. Well, I'll put it on
very seldom recognized either.
Well, yeah, well,
you
that's
had to be
true.
You had to be the chairman or the president of the
well,
community.
Well, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Many
say,
times. Yeah, many
you had
times.
To take
I
the charge.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't the parishioners, the women, didn't they expect the pastor's wife?
Yeah, the one that had been there for years, you know. And she'd been very, they had both been very devoted, and they were expecting that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then they could measure you, you know, with the predecessor, you know, if she is as good as the other one.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I think that's done, has used to be done, it isn't done anymore.
Did you feel that at any time, that
kinda,
the pressure on you?
Yeah, well, kind of, but they were nice about it, you know. One time I had ladies' aid at the house, and it was an annual meeting, and they expected this of me, and I think I had 100 and some people there.
All ladies?
The men would come along to drive the horses.
And they could also come in for a cup of coffee then?
Well, yeah,
no,
sure.
But how could you feed all those people?
Well,
I mean, three.
Well, I had lots of cakes out in the pantry and coffee.
And you had no help?
No, but the ladies came out and helped me. They even asked me to make communion wine, which I did 1 year.
You made the communion
wine? The lady before me had made communion wine.
From what? And what kind of?
Grapes.
Grapes?
Mm-hmm.
And you had to learn that then up in the... Was it in Salem?
It's in Salem. But we did it 1 year and then I said no. I didn't dare to say no the first year, no, but the other lady had done it and I said, I'll try. Mm-hmm. That was...
So they were thrifty then, in other words, that the parishioners, mm-hmm. they didn't want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in the grapes though from somewhere.
Yeah. I don't remember where I got the grapes. I'm sure I got them. It's a long time ago.
So then you had to bottle it and get it going. So, but at that time you didn't have to, were they still speaking Swedish in Salem then?
They were, yes. And it came to the time where they needed to change, you know. And so then it that was being brought about and we were there. But it was hard for the older people to keep up with driving automobiles and things like that. So they... Even at that time in the 1920, I guess it was, they were driving horse and buggy, some of the older people that lived far away. They just couldn't take learning how to drive cars. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at the meetings now with Kvinnoföreningen, did you have to talk Swedish then to them, or could you have it in English?
I imagine I talked quite a bit of both. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there were some old-timers sitting around then.
It was kind of hard, you know, to keep up with the Swedish, because I'd kind of gone away from
it. How were the old Swedish ladies now? Some of them could be pretty stern. I
had nice ladies to work with. I don't think there's any place where I could complain about the ladies. I really don't.
So they tried to help you? And,
yeah, they were always good. They were always good. Oh. You know, they had kind of done their way, and if you kind of went along with their way and didn't just come in and knock the whole thing in the head, then they were good.
But they expected you to be
the one they kind of expected that, I guess, in those days.
How did you, but the pastor's wife, she couldn't dare to say, we got to do it different now this time.
I guess
you
I was
take it gradually.
I wasn't kind of brave enough. I would have held a little more.
So you
right
just carry
now,
on the
yeah,
old, the old footsteps.
I guess that's been my weakness, maybe. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I did it the way I thought at that time it should be done, and I did it.
Mm-hmm. Did he have a lot of potluck suppers at the church in that time?
Not as much as at some of the other churches were. Uh-huh. They did have some, but it was far from people to come in, you see. And it got to be hard for them to get together.
Because they had to drive a lot of distance there.
They had to get out, and sometimes in the winter it'd be snowy, and it wasn't easy for them.
So sometimes the church attendance was low then.
If it was real stormy, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they did pretty good.
Did it happen that your husband had to cancel some of the?
I don't think that happened much. I don't remember that it happened.
No.
But he would get up there, and there's somebody there to have service, you know. Mm-hmm.
And you stayed on there for how many years?
See, where are we, in Salem now?
Yes.
We were there 4 years.
4 years. Mm-hmm. Was it the conveniences around it? I mean, could you get to a store quite easy, or?
There was a store, a grocery store, and a post office that we could walk to, and that helped a lot.
I see.
And then, of course, my husband would take car and go to town.
He had a car?
And, yeah.
And the congregation?
No.
Oh, he had his own car?
He had his own car. We only got that one car in Merrill.
You had one there?
A Model T, they gave us one.
Why didn't they have that convenience in?
We haven't seen that. We haven't seen that any other place.
Merrill was the only one?
Merrill was the only one, yeah. Yeah.
But there was a small congregation in Merrill, though.
Yeah, but we had two other places to go to, you know, Scandia and then a place between Limestone. No, we stopped at Limestone. And that was really nothing but an old people's home, a great big house that had been called years ago a poor house, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And they had older people staying in there, it roomed them, you know. And there was a Lutheran wife and husband there. And we'd stop there every once in a while and have a service for them. That's where was our service. And then we had to go clear out to Scandia, you see. It was 30 miles between Merrill and Scandia. That's what we had. Mm-hmm. But Scandia was interesting, though. Uh-huh.
So in all places now, there were Swedes and also other denominations. You had the Baptists, you had the Covenants, and mm-hmm. you had the Methodists. How did they affect your husband's work? Was it at that time pretty strict lines between each one?
I think they just kind of, each one took care of their own, yeah.
They didn't want to mix, in other words?
Not too much, no.
No?
Mm. We had some together meetings in Merrill sometimes. They had Norwegians and
they exchanged the pulpit then?
Sometimes. But mostly it was just his own, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the pastor had to be careful not to mix too much with the...
No. It was
the congregation.
Kind of, yeah. You kind of took care of your own. That's clock.
No, that's okay. There was just one.
I'm going to stop it. Well, it's been a long ways, and
were there any discussions between the groups, like public discussions between the Baptists and the Covenants? And,
no, it. I can't say.
You can't remember
that.
Any.
No, I can't say that. They kind of stuck to their own. They were happy.
You and your husband, did you discuss it at any time, the difference between the Covenants? They were probably the closest to the Lutherans. The Baptists were too much off because they had the adult baptism in the, mm-hmm. in the water outside.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Covenants now, the change, the difference there is very, very little or small.
Yeah.
Why didn't they join hands? Well, they are still apart today, I mean, but...
I'm not sure.
You never discussed that with your husband?
I suppose we talked about it when there were little local things come up, you know, but I don't think we spent a lot of time talking
No.
about it. Yeah.
Did you discuss it at the ladies' aid meetings with the ladies?
I don't think we did. I really say no. I don't think we... I think we just each one took his own and kind of got the best we could there. Mm-hmm.
So there was no uproar in the community?
Mm-hmm. No, we never had any fights. We had a Catholic couple lived, our neighbors in Merrill, and they were lovely people. We got along with them fine.
Did they attend the Lutheran church?
No, they had their own church and they went every Sunday. Yeah.
So they never tried.
It's changed in Merrill. Things have changed up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was during what years now that you served in...
1920 to 24, we were there. 24.
And was then, that good years?
Yeah, I think it was. It was. We were out in the country far, but you got used to that too, you know. We had this store for supplies, and so that didn't bother you. And then we went to Mitchell, which I would say wasn't a very... there was a little change in the parishes out there, and they knew this change was coming on, and they needed someone at, just at this particular time. So they sent us to Mitchell, and then together with that was a New Home congregation out in the country from...
New Home, yes.
Uh-huh, yeah. Have you been there?
Yes.
You've been everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And so they sent us there, and we were only there a year.
And then, there was a strict, well, Salem was also a strict farming community. There was no other...
In New Home, yeah.
Yeah.
New all Home. Together, all together. Together.
Mm-hmm. How were the people there different from Salem? Because, you know, the climate and the business climate can change people drastically. Was it harder to get the money from... Did they have the envelope system in the church at that time?
I believe that New Home did. I think so. I mustn't say for sure, but I think so.
Were they able then to support
the
church?
Yeah, the New Home people, there wasn't too many families there that were just real eager, you know. But the ones that were there were so eager that helped us a lot. Mm-hmm. And we went there. I don't know if they're still carrying that on or not. I don't know. Out in New Home.
Yes, I can't say no. Mm-hmm.
And we were there, and we had... my husband's mother was with us there, and she was ill, and we had some kind of tough times during that time. Then they took her to Nebraska. Her daughter came and got her, and then we went to Merrill.
During that time, your husband house calls. He had to make the out in the country and driving around.
Yeah,
did they call on him, or did he just drop in?
Oh, he used to have a kind of a time he went, usually, unless it was a sick call or something.
Very few call on the pastor unless they had to.
Yeah, not very, no.
There was nowhere abused, over-abused, in other words.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Some people called the pastor all the time, but at that time it was unheard.
No, he would go kind of every once a month or twice a month or so, as he felt that he could go. And then he would go whether he'd been called or not, you know, just go and visit.
Otherwise, they called only in emergency for some...
Yeah, we've had those,
baptism
too.
Baptism and...
Yeah, we've had those, too.
And death calls.
Yeah.
So he went out to the homes then when somebody died?
Oh, yeah.
Or did he wait until they come to the funeral home?
No, he went to the homes.
Mm-hmm. He went to the homes. Mm-hmm.
In Scandia, we had a funeral in the bitter winter, 30 below zero. And here was a casket in the, in the rig. And there was not a flower, it was all black, not a flower to be had. And we had been to the home, and we got in the car then and went with them to the church. And the church was cold, and it was ridiculously cold. No flowers. But we had the funeral. I had overshoes on, I played the organ.
Yeah, but you couldn't bury the...
He was buried, yeah, they got...
30 below? They could dig the ground then at that time?
No, I don't believe they did have it. I think maybe they had to...
They saved him up to...
Save it, yeah. Yeah. So that was one experience.
So flowers were completely useless then?
They couldn't have had them, they just frozen. Yeah, they didn't have it. It was sensible not to have flowers.
So the church was not heated then for that funeral?
Well, if there was heat there, I didn't feel it. And we didn't keep on too long, you know, so it worked. Mm-hmm.
So that was a dangerous job.
It was a risk.
How about your husband now when he was going out there in the car in the 30 below?
Well, we got along. I don't know. I suppose the heater did something. We must have had a heater in the car. Yeah.
Well, he could get, at that time, they could stall almost anywhere in the snow.
Yeah, it could have been then. And there was big snow drifts all around us.
So you had to wait many times then in your home for your husband to call home, to come home for him?
I don't think I did. This was while we were in...
Scandia.
Uh-huh. And whoever we rode with that time, I don't believe we had the car. Somebody took us in their car to the funeral. I don't believe we were driving our car. And then I think we had to come on the train because of snow. We couldn't come on the car. And then they took care of that, so they got us to the train to go back.
Yeah. And the next Mitchell. That was before the 30s, in 1924.
Yeah, now we're talking about Mitchell. Now the next one's Clay Center, Kansas.
Then you're back in Kansas again.
Got it.
Were you happy then to come back to your old...
I felt happiness.
...neighborhood?
Yeah, I was happy. 35 miles from my home.
You felt better at home with looking at the prairies in Kansas than
Yeah, I did.
In Mitchell.
I liked it. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a big move for me, you know, for both of us. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Were the people different? Not when you came back to Kansas.
Yeah, I think they were.
How were they different? Were they more outspoken? Or
yeah,
more
friend, more friendly.
Uh-huh. More friendly.
I feel like. Uh-huh. The others were friendly and always nice, but there was something about the climate or whatever
they
it was.
They were reserved.
Uh-huh. Each one.
Or letting himself off.
There were so many things. They had minds and they had so many things up there to put their mind on. You know, they were scattered in the north. Uh-huh.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked, I enjoyed our stay at Kansas. Mm-hmm.
So Clay Center, or Sweetsbury as it was called.
Uh-huh. It was 9 miles out from Clay Center, the congregation.
It was a pretty good sized church though. There was a
big, it was a big church.
Big church. Big congregation.
Big congregation, and a good congregation, yeah. Oh. And the one girl, the youngest girl, was born there. Mm-hmm.
And your husband served there between 19...
Well, here I've got my glasses on, I'll read it.
Yeah, I got it 25 to 31.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right at the last, in other words, before the Depression there. And then you came right into the Depression. Did you feel that 1931, for instance, when the Depression hit? How did they affect the congregation?
No, we felt it more, I think, when we got down to Mountain, the Depression.
It was bad then.
It was bad before we came. We found it before we came from Merrill.
But you was, did?
Yeah, yeah. But we got along, we got our salary and had to get along on less, you know. Yeah, we felt it.
Did the salary got lower than when you came to Sweetsburg?
No, they never put it. Oh, I would guess maybe about the same. I can't tell you that. I would think it got the same or a little bit below or a little bit up above. I'd have to, I don't know that, I don't have that.
No. Mm-hmm. But there was a pinch then on the...
Yeah.
On the
but we got along and I know it was hard. Uh-huh. Yeah, we...
So it was easy for your husband to get around then, around Sweetsburg and Clay Center?
It was better. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the winters were not that bad either?
Uh-huh.
You had some blizzards though?
We had a new house there, you know, at Clay Center.
A new house?
It was rebuilt, I guess.
I see.
Goodness, I think a 6 or 8 room house.
Oh, so you had all the...
And we had that to fire, you know, and it took a lot of
So they didn't
coal.
Help you with the heating?
No.
You had to do
no.
the yourself?
They did saw wood for us, which was...
Oh, they did?
Uh-huh. They, one day a year they'd come with the wood, so we used
that. And you had the electricity?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And you had the free...
Oh, yes, yeah. We
ice box?
Yeah. Not a nice box, it's what we called a cooler, did you
cooler.
Remember? That's what they had. They had fixed that new when we came. And the girls had a lot of fun with that.
You had to bring in ice?
No, it was a thing that was built way, way down below the basement. And then it was a box and a rope that took it up and down, and so we punched.
Well, waited, dummy waited?
That's right.
Oh, I see.
They still laugh about
so
that.
So they learned about how to run their one. You didn't have any trouble though.
No, we
had helpers.
It got along. Yeah, it got along pretty good.
How about washing machine? Did you have that at that time?
Yeah, I had electric downstairs.
And that was your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We've always furnished.
Mm-hmm. And the congregation furnished you a car then at that time, or
the what?
A car. No. It was only Merrill.
Just Merrill.
There's good memories.
No, we've always had our own. Mm-hmm. Well, we had nice memories from Clay Center. They were lovely people. That's where the lady lived that had her wash out at 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. But they were stable, good people anyway. When we first came there was one family, one man that had sort of run the whole thing, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
He was going to be the boss of the whole thing. And it was time for him to step down his authority and then. He didn't like to, but he hung on too long. But then there was another group of people, and they understood that, and they kind of went along with him enough so we didn't have any rumpus or anything, you know.
Was he a deacon or trustee?
He'd been everything. He'd been the leader of the whole thing. Yeah.
But the young people didn't resent them after leadership.
No, they didn't. And that's what I admired about them. There was a bunch of people there, and they just hung on. And pretty soon he was out of the picture, you know.
Did he die then? Or
He died. Uh-huh.
So he didn't let go of the reins before he...
No, before... Yeah.
Close his eyes.
And, but it was an experience anyway, just another experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did your husband try to convince him that the...
No, I think he was pretty quiet of the whole thing. And he'd better be. I mean, he couldn't have gone to Jonas Svensson and say, now you do this and you do that. No, he didn't take that kind of... Mm.
No. Mm. So he had to be...
You have to have lots of thoughtfulness in them.
So you learned a lot of lessons then over the years.
Oh, right.
How to treat people and to meet with them and discuss things.
Yeah,
and,
I feel that I have.
And have a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found out it's better to retreat, I mean to back off a little bit and learn more and to tell them the truth? What do you think about them?
I know I do what the first thing you said. Back off a little bit. Do you understand?
But haven't you felt at times that you want to tell them the truth?
Well, there's been times when I've told them the truth. Yeah, if I felt like it went, if I was for sure I was right and they were wrong, I wouldn't back up with anything that was wrong.
No?
I maybe have in my life, but no. I wouldn't, yeah.
And you had strength enough to listen a little bit more about it than the...
Yeah. When I go down to nursing center here and see the patients, you know, they can say some real funny things to you down there. And I usually let them talk it out and then I say something altogether different. That's the only way to do it. You can't rebuff them nasty. You just can't, you know.
But how does the changes come about now in the congregation? You had Merrill, you had Mitchell, you had in Salem, and then Clay Center. You know, there was a time span of 10 years to 15 years, and the world is always changing, people are changing, but this old guy in Clay Center, of course, he was hanging on, he'd probably been there for 40 years, 50 years.
Longer than he'd been there
you
since.
You could never convince him anything, not even the Senate President convinced him you got a chance.
No, I couldn't. I wouldn't.
As you said, you admire the congregation to stick it out.
I do. I don't know, I could name some of the names, but there were some very loyal people down there, and there still are. But now, of course, it was the church was taken by this tornado.
Yes.
And it has changed much. We were down with the Holcombs, we were down there to their anniversary. And we were surprised, you know, but it was nice to be there. Mm-hmm.
So do you think the pastor's big job, well, he's supposed to preach, but he's supposed to baptize, confirm, and sometimes marry the people and bury them. In other words, that happens during a pastor's service, if he stays long enough in one place. What do you think people admire most? They don't admire too many changes, though. In the
no,
church.
From one to the other.
They like to have a tradition to come to.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way my parents had it and my grandparents. Do they like to have that as a red thread throughout the life of a congregation? In other words, a tradition more than a change. What do you think is the basics in people's mind? Nowadays, you know, they change every week almost. You don't know what you have when you come into a church.
Yeah, it's so different now. I think that if they admire this pastor and he's been there a long time, it would be real hard for another man to come. Even in those days, I know that in Salem they had to make a change there. Am I saying the right place, Salem? Yeah, in Salem, they were very lovable to the man that had been there, and he'd been there a long time. I don't know about what he started the church. And I know we had to tread softly, not to get on his toes.
It's harder to come after to succeed
yeah.
mm-hmm. a person like that.
And he was there. He helped. Was along when Hortense, I guess, was baptized. One of the girls was baptized. But you had to be kind of careful. And I guess Daddy stepped on some toes, you know, sometimes. But they were awful, faithful people.
So in other words, your husband, he was a new pastor now. He was trying out.
Yeah, it was kind of new
so
for him.
So it was good for him to have Merle, Salem, Mitchell, and Clay Center because he was learning.
Yeah, he was learning.
How to behave with people absorb the differences.
I suppose
differences.
Every man has to do that, you know.
Because if we take a sample now in Oldsburg, you have Sundquist. He was baptizing you, I suppose. Sundquist. In Oldsburg. No, that was in Mariadal.
Johansson baptized.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm referring not to, I'm thinking back to Mariadal. You had Sundquist there for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. Heterius came in there for many, many years. And he probably came up from Texas, I believe.
Yeah, he had an odd place.
He was there for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. So he will set the congregation in mm-hmm. one trend, and it's very hard to get him out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not too good if a pastor stays for 4 years.
I think you're right. I think it's all right to get moving. Yeah, maybe that's one of the good changes. Because they're there to do their same message in every place, and why should one be treated? Yeah, that's right.
Because years ago they stuck it out for like Rockford, First Lutheran, Dr. Lorraine, he was there for 4 years.
Yeah.
He never moved.
Mm-hmm. I know that. I was there to Messiah last year.
So, and then after Clay Center, you felt at home then? In other words, you can go back home to
We didn't go a lot because my husband never thought of taking the car too many times, you know. But when we did go and when they came up there, I did have a good companionship. Nice.
It was an easy shoot over on Route 36 over to...
Yeah, it wasn't far. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it. I could feel closer to my people. Mm-hmm. They came once in a while.
Did they come to visit you then?
Yeah, they came a few times. Mm-hmm. We had two Christmases there while my mother was still living, and then she died. And
did she stay with you then in the Clay Center?
No. She stayed at home. She had a daughter at home she stayed with. Mm-hmm.
So she were happy then that you married the pastor?
I don't know how you find that out.
What did she comment about? Why? So sure she.
I think she was kind of sad because she knew I'd be away so long. She didn't make any fuss over it. She was always kind and, yeah.
Well, you think she felt more at loss when you left as the youngest daughter than some of the older ones?
Well, yes, because they were going to live right around there.
You were the last one.
Sure enough. I think it kind of hurt her, and that was the last one, you know. Yeah.
So after the Clay Center.